Welcome to the Mindful Medicina Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Jeanette Daniels. I'm a naturopathic medical doctor on a mission to inspire a renewed confidence in the intelligence of the human body. And joining the conversation today is my friend and colleague, Janelle Hartman, lymphatic and colon hydrotherapist, esteemed yoga teacher of teachers, and the co-producer of this show. The ancient art of astrology is timelessly practical, revealing crucial aspects of our own mythic story in relationship to the collective. So too, our internal workings are intimately related to the movements of the natural world, both terrestrially and in the heavens. Know thyself, and ye shall know the universe and its gods. A phrase attributed to the Greek oracle of Delphi, which declares the microcosmic relationship with the macrocosmic and charges us to become self-aware within the sacred dance.
2024 has presented us with many crossroad themes, highlighting tension between tribe and individual, wildly disparate perspectives on how our nation should be conducted, what attributes we value in leadership, the balance between mercy and justice, and the very definition of freedom. The plot is thick, with no sign of thinning anytime soon. And on the threshold of 2025, we intend to consciously look to the planets for clues on the tapestry of influence they weave, so we may shed the shadows of slavish mechanicity by forces that seem to control us in order to find the quantum sovereignty to forge ahead with self-awareness and strategic wisdom. Our human hearts have the triumphant capacity to accomplish this while staying open, compassionate, tolerant, attuned to the needs of others and to the Earth herself, both as the home of our human family and as a living organism with her own destiny. We are so honored to have the brilliant Tali Idu of the Astro Twins back with us today, our first returning guest on the Mindful Medicina podcast. Yeah. You've all listened to episode 11, The Astrology of Purpose, Passion, and Play, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of our faves. Tali will give us the star's eye view on the progression of astrological influences that unfold in the year ahead, going in depth on specific time periods, types of opportunities and challenges that we may face both individually and together. She and her twin sister Ophira have their 2025 horoscope book available, providing forecasts for all 12 zodiac signs, key hotspot dates, and predictions for the world at large. We guarantee you'll love it, because besides being a couple of geniuses, they are clever and hilarious. Their writing style will pull you right in. And Tali will share more about the Astro Twins' new book that came out just a bit ago, The Astrology Advantage, which introduces the Astro Twins' revolutionary I Am system, which simplifies the birth chart into three archetypes: Innovator, Authority, and Maven. Get it? I Am? This book is amazing and can help you dive into your dharma in a deep and practical way while staying objective about challenges and blind spots associated with each archetype. You have got to check these powerful women out.
Ophira and Tali Adut of the Astro Twins are among the most sought-after astrologers and intuitive advisors of our times. As the longtime resident astrologers for Elle magazine and the authors of over 20 books, they are the advisors to a roster of CEOs, celebrities, global leaders, and successful entrepreneurs. So, welcome to 2025, which the Astro Twins have declared the year of the divine pendulum. Thank you all for your support and blessings on this coming year with so much love from the Mindful Medicina Mavens. Welcome back, Tali of Astro Twins. We're so happy to have you back for part two.
Woo woo! Yeah, we had Tali on back in episode 11. If you haven't given The Astrology of Purpose, Passion, and Play a listen, please go back and listen to that. It's so much fun. It's one of our most popular episodes. So we are absolutely thrilled to have Tali back, and she's going to drop some astrological wisdom on us about what she sees as coming forward in 2025. And she's got a great new book. You want to tell us about your book?
Yes, this is our actually 14th year writing this annual guide, the Astro Twins 2025 horoscope. It is. It's a different year every year, obviously, but it's a 600-page book that has predictions for all 12 zodiac signs. It has all the important dates of the year ahead, every big thing that's coming for love, for the planetary transits. Yeah. It's a huge undertaking that I'm so proud of.
Excellent. Yes. And along with that, there's also that could be a great companion is the Astrology Advantage, which I have and I love. Do you want to tell us about the structure of that book?
Yes. That book is an evergreen one, so you can read it any time of year. It takes your birth chart and basically puts it in a blender and gives you a short code of if you were to take your entire chart and use all the planets, all the signs, you get this archetype. You're either an innovator, authority, or a maven. And we tell you how to use that for every area of your life, from love to career to time management, productivity. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. So let's get into it. We are coming up on some pretty important transits, even before the year ends. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And like November 19th, the day which shall live in infamy astrologically. You know, we're really entering this cycle that hasn't been around for 250 years. Pluto, which is the Phoenix planet, the Darth Vader planet, it really is this transformational, burn it to the ground, regenerative energy. And it only changes signs every 12 to 20 years. Well, it's been in Capricorn, the sign of governments, banks, economy, corporations, the patriarchy since 2008. Well, on November 19th, it begins a 20-year tour through Aquarius, which is the sign of community, activism, progress. I don't want to say progressive views, but progress of some science, change. It's going to be like the aliens really have landed.
Yeah, and it's interesting because we will have had by that time, there's a Congress speaking about the UAPs. Right?
There's another one coming up.
Oh, I'm hoping for disclosure this year. I'm like, let's do this.
Come on.
Let's come on, Pluto and Aquarius. Let's do it.
Will the aliens please step forward? Maybe they're inside of some people already. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's
great.
Yeah. It's what's the things that are happening. So every year we kind of give the year a theme in our book, and we're calling 2025 the year of the divine pendulum. And yes, I know. That is because every single one of the outer planets is moving into a new sign. And the outer planets are the ones that shape generational trends and societal shifts. But three of them are going to be swinging forward into a new sign and then going back to the one they've been in for a long time. And so it is going to be like we have this experience of seeing this whole new future and possibility, but then like coming back to the cognitive dissonance of like, wait, did that happen? Wait, no, what's going on?
Yeah, and it's amazing because like you said, these have very long cycles, but boom, they're all kind of happening right at the same time. Has that ever happened before?
It has, but not for a long time. Mm-hmm. And you know, what's really interesting is that the three planets, so one of them is Neptune. Neptune's been in its home sign of Pisces since 2011. It's brought us this whole spiritual awakening, this embracing of plant medicine and holistic care and things like that. Now it's moving into Aries. And the last time it was moving from Pisces to Aries, like where it is right now, was 1861, the year that the Civil War began. Mm-hmm. And Neptune was in Aries from 1862 to 1875. We'll have it until 2033. So that's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. Now, this one I'm really interested in because I feel like so there is that kind of spiritual awakening that happens with Pisces, but there's also like this energy that's sort of going everywhere. And so all of a sudden there's going to be this definition and boundaries and things that are going to kind of create some containment and some definement and some individuation in the Aries. And I was thinking about how back with like with the Civil War, I think that maybe our cultural relation to the Pisces energy was less of the of all of these kind of awakening things and more like a very emotional and, you know, just kind of a lot of emotions going everywhere. And then when it hit Aries, because there hadn't been that refinement and enlightenment, it went right into like the shadow aspects of Mars. And so I'm hoping that because we've had a little bit more education with our spiritual selves, that this one is going to be purifying, creating some good boundaries, creating some good individuation. I'm sure there's going to be some shit hitting the fan, of course, but
yeah,
but I feel like it's going to maybe create some clarification.
And it, you know what it did last time too, because after the Civil War, while Neptune was just starting its tour of Aries, we got abolition. Right. And I was looking at kind of what happened in other ways, like the Industrial Revolution began then too. So mm-hmm. We
progress.
Are, yeah, there was like this whole new way of energizing things. We also had the arts kind of rebelled against the institution and started the Romanticism era kind of came to an end, and realism and the foundation of modern art, where people started painting subjects that were realistic, like workers and women.
Oh,
and yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, I was like, what was happening then? So there's this like,
wow,
let's all like Neptune is like the dream and illusion, and Aries is like in your face. So it's mm-hmm. like, let's look at what the heck is going on.
Yeah, I love that. It's kind of like, I'm not quite sure, I'm just kind of exploring everything, and now I'm really sure.
Yeah, right. Delusion. No. Yeah. No more denial.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
And, yeah. We also have one of the other planets that's doing a pendulum swing is Uranus. Mm-hmm. I don't know how else to say it appropriately. giggle. But yes, I know. We shouldn't be afraid to say Uranus to you too. You're in the medical profession, you know?
We're both colon hydrotherapists.
Exactly right. So, I mean, let's call it Uranus here. It should be that. It is moving from Taurus, where it's been since 2018, into Gemini from July 7th to November 7th. Then it goes back there for another 7 years, starting April of 2026. Mm-hmm. So, and Neptune will be in Aries again. Neptune's in Aries from March 30th to October 22nd next year. And then again, January 26th, and then for 14 more years of in 2026. So basically 2025 is this weird in-between year, and then 2026, like, change happens. So we have Uranus was going into Gemini for the first time since the 1940s, which was, it was in Taurus to Gemini at the beginning of World War II. And then we have Pluto, like I mentioned earlier, going from Capricorn to Aquarius. That was where it was right at the end of the American Revolution. So all these wars, these significant wars were underway and then came to an end during the cycles, but like really left this huge change on society. And that's what's coming again for the first time.
Let's talk about Uranus, and I mean the planet.
Oh, because I was going to tell you, I was going to give you the report when I visit
you. Can talk
you.
To us,
yeah,
Dolly.
Exactly.
You can tell us all about it. So interesting, the very stable fixed sign of Taurus into kind of a squirrely mutable sign of Gemini. Yeah. Like, and so let's talk about Uranus. Let's talk about the planet and, yeah, and what are the energies?
It is the ruler of Aquarius. So it is about energy. It's about change, chaos, revolution. It really shakes things up. And so as it has since 2018 in Taurus, we don't really use cash anymore. You know, we use everything's Apple Pay or Venmo or crypto is, you know, as it's rounding out now, crypto is being widely accepted. When it was really like, oh, Bitcoin's dead, it just went up over $80,000, you know, I think yesterday or something. So It changed the way we interact. It disrupted labor, the supply chain. Taurus rules kind of our work, our money, things like that. So now moving into Gemini, it's going to shake up communication. We're already seeing that. I mean, it's really going to make AI insane, like digital fakes. You're not going to know what is what. And you know,
that's what I was curious about. It's like getting into the AI and some of the, you know, how are we going to know what's real moving through duality with just this really electric kind of squirrely energy?
And really, yeah. Like, it's going to make it hard to know who to trust. I don't know if, like, the Rosenbergs were, like, the whole communist fear thing, if that also happened during, like, when it was in Gemini. Like, a lot of if we think the misinformation and fake news is bad now, oh, my God, it's going to get... Like, media literacy is just going to be a joke because you're not going to know what's real and what isn't. Yeah.
So I wonder if this connects to some of the initiations about these Mars transits that are coming up, particularly around Cancer. And so because I'm thinking about, okay, well, if this is coming, then we need to really understand how to protect ourselves to be really, like, kind of create that literacy about security and, you know, all of that stuff. So there's a lot of things that touches, but I thought it might connect to that as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be hard to really know who to trust. So I think we're going to find one of the things that Pluto in Aquarius will bring is like this necessity to form communities and to form, you know, to gather with people, like micro communities. Even people might have micro schools, and I feel like there's going to be like these private outposts where you have the kids all go to a school together and there's a doctor. It's almost like bizarre. It could become like some back to the 1800s, like homesteading communities. Yes.
And that is both Aquarian going forward by going back.
Yeah.
And it's like a Cancer retrograde.
Oh, totally. Yes. Because Mars,
education, the kids, and the
Mars is a planet of war, combat, anger, and it usually spends about 6 to 8 weeks in a sign, but it goes retrograde every 18 to 24 months, and because of that, it's in Leo right now. It moved into Leo, the sign of, like, and that really helped Trump in the election on November 3rd. But it's going retrograde in Leo December 6th to January 6th. And then it goes back into Cancer, the sign of women, from January 6th to February 23rd. It's retrograde, then forward in Cancer till April 18th. So basically the first quarter of the year, Mars, the planet of anger and war, is going to be in the sign of women. So... just go ahead and try to take away more of our reproductive rights, which might happen, unfortunately. But I'm really like the rate, like if that happens, I don't even know, like, I don't think we even know what the collective rage will be.
Well, I think just like speaking of collective, really just a lot of subconscious material for everyone. The themes about like how we're supported emotionally, like what our responsibility is to ourselves and to others, and, you know, just protection, education, the home, like all of these things. And I have Mars in Cancer in my natal chart. Ah. I've been swimming in those very weird waters for a long time, but it's actually, so it's not a happy sign for Mars. But I have found that there's like death and life at the same time happening. So there's like, you know, it's very, I feel like that's why I was very, very goth in
yes.
Totally.
Emo, it's kind of
like,
emo.
Oh yeah, totally. But it's also like understanding the relationship between life and death. And I think that those themes also come up with the reproductive rights and abortion and things like that. I feel like that is all, it's definitely all hanging out around there.
Oh yeah. You know? And
so
then it gets picked
like
up.
And how people interpret the values around that.
Oh, for
it's
sure.
It's going to be an interesting cultural discussion. I hope that we can call it a discussion, not
yeah,
a war.
I doubt it. Yeah, the trad wives and the childless cat ladies are about to do battle for the feminine phenomenon. That's what I see. And then Jupiter, which is this giant, expansive planet that moves things along is going to be in Cancer for a year from June 9th of this year till June 30th of 2026. So that's another pendulum swing. Mm-hmm. And the last time it was there was 2013 to 2014, mm-hmm. which we did have, no, that was at the Venus eclipse. No, that was in 2012, but that was Jupiter and Gemini, which it is for the first half of the year. Either way, it's just, there is just going to be a lot of just big feelings mm-hmm. around what it is to be a woman. And I think it's going to come from both, you know, women who are on the side of like, hey, we want our bodily autonomy, and also just moms, like a lot of, you know, there was sort of this suburban mom vote that really took us, you know, that really helped get Trump in the White House and make create the red wave. And I think that, you know, their concerns are about, you know, oh, I don't want my daughter on a swim team with a trans girl. I mean, things like those are the types of, you know, like, I guess, trigger points that were used to gather them around and create this sort of like, I can't see all the things that this man did when he, you know, never mind the insurrection, the swim team, you know? Yeah. So,
yeah. And there's definitely a lot of details around that on both sides. I mean, there's like some things happening in those dynamics that are just like very controversial in general. Like people mm-hmm. have many, there's like so many ways to look at that, and so many people giving their testimonies about how that's affecting them. And so it's like, but I see how it totally relates to the planetary energy. There's, I'm wondering too about the luckiness or like the expansion that comes from Jupiter or Gemini, because that's a happy place. It's like we go from the detriment right into the...
Oh, actually, Cancer is exalted. Yeah, Jupiter is exalted in Cancer, yes. Which I think it will create, like I said, like these, like, it's good for families. I think it's going to create a lot of, like, you know, I read in the New York Times that in China there are people, like, they're going door to door and knocking and, like, trying to get, like, a pregnancy campaign going for women and universities and politicizing, like, and I mean, we've got Elon Musk offering his sperm to people, like the repopulation, depopulation conversation is going to expand. I think there's going to be a real, like, there could be another baby boom even coming.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And then just kind of back to Mars in general, like the energy of Mars. Can you want to describe in your words, like the energy of Mars in general, what that means?
Yeah, Mars is the warrior. Mars is the agitator, but it's the ruler of Aries. So it's also this trailblazing energy. And Jupiter is a lot like that too. It's less of a warrior, more of like this big magnanimous energy. It's the ruler of Sagittarius. So we have a lot of big energy coming around women and women's issues. Mars is in fall in Cancer. That's its hardest place. But Jupiter is exalted, its happiest place. So mm-hmm. a lot of, which kind of tracks with where people are and probably mm-hmm. their feelings right now around mm-hmm. the fear of what might be ahead.
Yeah. But I mean, including also a lot of people who have fears about what's happening in public schools. Like they have a lot of big feelings about education. Like you said, people are starting to pull their kids out of school. It's just like the whole idea of like what's happening with our children, and then what's the propagation of the future, you know, like with our, as far as like the human population goes.
Yeah, Gemini, Jupiter is in Gemini for the first half of the year, and Uranus is in Gemini. Gemini is what rules elementary, public school, like grade school age, and like your teen years. The word teenager was actually created when Uranus was in Gemini in 1941. And so it is the teenage kind of sign. But so I think what's happening on campuses with all the protests is a lot of Jupiter in Gemini, and just the inability to agree on anything. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Just what's, you know, what this year is about. It's also a dragon year. Next year's the year of the wood snake.
That's right.
and a 9 year in numerology. So why we called it the divine pendulum is because there is this like 9 years are a time when like we're at the end of a cycle. There's kind of a grieving and a mourning that's going to happen. And the lunar nodes, which will be interesting for you too, moving into Pisces and Virgo. So the lunar nodes are like these two points in the sky that are like the cosmic destiny line. They are basically the collective karma and dharma work that we're all doing. And since July of 2023, they've been in Libra, South Node, and Aries, North Node. So we've done a lot of like reimagining around relationships and, you know, and then this warring Aries energy has been going on too, or like, so they're moving into Pisces and Virgo, which is going to put a lot more energy on healing, holistic healing, spiritual healing, emotional and physical. I'm so curious to know what like trends you see coming up next year in health, because, you know, like with all of this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I would like to interject on the conversation on bodily autonomy since we're here on medicine.
Oh, please.
So we can't pick and choose where we want bodily autonomy, right? Like if women want to really be able to pick a time in their life that is not a safe time for them to have a child, be it physical, emotional, financial, whatever the case may be, we can't fight for that and at the same time be told what drugs to take. Like, you can't have them. You can't choose bodily autonomy without having bodily autonomy 100%. So I think that in medicine, this is what we're going to see this coming year, 2025, is that people are waking up to protecting their body in general. And that means being able to lean into nature and the intelligence of the human body and not leaning so deeply into, say, the state or the government or the powers that be. So taking ourselves back from the system is really, I think, what we're going to have to do to get back to a higher sense of spirituality.
I think people are really going to be feeling that with Pluto and Aquarius, that like Aquarius is like, but what's interesting that we're seeing now, because Pluto is also this like power, this is the mind bending thing about it all. It's like Pluto can be very manipulative and nefarious, and it's in this like, you know, autonomous energy of Aquarius, and we've got these Aries energies coming in. So it's like, that is really the real like balance point, I think, for next year, is like, okay, for my autonomy, how do I also fit in with the collective? Do I care? Does it matter? Should it? Or how, you know, so that's where it's like, how do we balance those two things? Because I mean, there is an argument that like, if everybody's like, I'm just doing it my way, then how does society work together? But then if who's making the rules of society, right? It's such a pivot point, such a hard one to navigate.
Yeah. And it's hard to know who is making the rules, as you would say, because there's always going to be two sides of the same coin, which is where you have this polarity between red and blue, right?
Right.
And pitting us against each other. Where the most important thing that matters is how we treat each other, less about them having the power over us. So it's like way more important how we are with each other than who's the president, for example, because it's with the people and the collective consciousness that really dominates the planet.
Yeah. I feel like there is sort of a ruse though going on right now that we're going to see, because this is one of the interesting things about Aquarius, that it's like we have all these tech bros, and you know, look, I own a Bitcoin, which I'm very glad I got it for cheap. So don't come find me. You know,
those are expensive.
I know. I was like, got it early, like on a tech, you know, friend's advisement. But like, I do, Trump just spoke at a crypto conference, and Elon Musk is all into it. But it's like, there is this whole kind of renegade energy, but like, how does it serve every, you know, like, it's like, do we even have any power when Elon Musk can just turn his Starlink around and end a war, control,
or shut the grid?
Yeah. Right? Like,
so, I mean, that is probably the most important thing to note, is that we've come so completely dependent on the system.
Yeah. But like, the mind bending thing is that the people who are saying that they're not for the system really are manipulating people into thinking that. And like, now we have JD Vance, who's backed by Peter Thiel, who from, you know, all these billionaires are basically got their hands back on the wheel by convincing the everyday people that they're on their side. And that is where it's just so Pluto and Aquarius. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how is this going to play out? This is going to be really, really. And I'm not saying that like the Democrats had a plan that was like any better, but it's just like, I don't know. Definitely don't think we've seen anything yet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And in comes that Uranus and Gemini, right?
Right. Oh my God. I know. Well, it's like the Constitution came to be in 1781. I think it was. I was like a couple years after Pluto went into Aquarius. But I'm thinking about the Federalists, and I'm just like, is there this new like bro clan of Federalists who are going to be like making everything decentralized again? But actually, Alexander Hamilton was a big proponent of the central bank because he thought we needed that. So I don't know. It's just everything is about to get really wonky. I guess we have good practice for it from the pandemic, right? I mean, it kind of warmed us up. But I don't know. I mean, like, in some ways, this deregulate, everything is this attempt to regulate a world that is becoming increasingly complex is also kind of a fool's errand, because our bodies, like you said, do have that wisdom that goes beyond, you know, all the medications we're being prescribed. And you know, although I do love my hormone replacement therapy, that's gonna get a good bump from Mars, you know, on that. Mars and Jupiter and Cancer will be really good for women's like health, I think. Mm-hmm. They can be. If at least, I mean, it doesn't matter. We're going to find that information out anyways. We're going to find our compounding pharmacies and resources. We just are.
I think they called it just going out and getting some flowers and herbs. That's your original compounding pharmacy.
Okay.
Besides the sun in the morning. Yeah, it's amazing. I don't remember which doctor it was. There was a book back in the 80s, and there were about 8 doctors that co-wrote this book. And they actually found that people who had cancer actually had a better chance of surviving if they never had a diagnosis.
Wow, I've often wondered that. Because it's like, how many of us might actually be walking around with cancer?
Absolutely.
And just like the minute we get the diagnosis, all of a sudden it becomes our whole reality.
You see it. You actually start seeing a cancer. And I think for some people, hearing a diagnosis means, you know, it's like a seeing is believing thing. But
that is always, it's interesting to hear you say that. That is like, it's always crossed my mind. Like,
overdiagnosing is always, there's always a payoff for that in many ways, which is, I guess, a topic for another conversation.
I mean, you know, that's kind of where we're going, though. It's like, I think, well, we haven't talked about Saturn. Keep it simple, Saturn, who has also been in Pisces since March 7th, 2023. And that's the third planet doing the pendulum swing. It'll be joining Neptune in Aries from March 24th until September 1st. And then it goes back into Pisces again. And then hits Aries for another 2 years on February 13th, 2026. And it you can tell I just wrote a book because all these dates are in my
head. it's impressive.
I when you write something 12 times, it just sticks, you know? I know, I'm like, God, I did remember that. Phew. No, but it's like Saturn and Aries is also going to really bring a little bit of restrictive energy, some authoritarian, autocratic energy that we're also, it also may, you know, force us to put aside some of our individual needs a little bit in order to understand the collective, which isn't exactly probably what you want to hear. Like, no, don't tell me what to do.
Well, it's interesting that I feel like Saturn brings so much reconciliation, like, you know, getting your house in order and like really showing you in a almost like the karmic boomerang way, if you're not following natural law. And
totally.
Yeah, there's an accountability that comes, and remembering that there's that polarity in every sign, like in between Aries and Libra, it's what is your individuality, and then how does that harmonize with mm-hmm. others? And so having, I think those themes come up. And when I think about Saturn too, and I want to give a shout out to all my young friends that I've talked into the night with around their Saturn returns in Pisces. God bless you. It's almost over. You're doing great. Keep going.
1994 to 96ers. Yes. We're looking at you.
that it's really like, I think about, I love the Tarot too, and I love using Tarot with astrology. And I think of the Tower, you know, the Tower.
Oh, yeah.
That comes, that lightning strike that comes when there's this structure that's being built and it's not quite built correctly. And so it has to come and be struck down, and you know, people gasp when they see that come up in their reading, but it doesn't have to be a breakdown necessarily. It can be a breakthrough.
Totally. It is, we are at the Tower. I would say 2026 will really be a Tower card year. We picked the High Priestess for this year because people are going to have to really draw on their inner resources, but the Tower is actually good, not a bad.
I like that. I like the High Priest, like running a lot of juice,
right? Well, yeah, and no one wants to see the Tower, but you know, sometimes you have to.
And you know, it's a blessing. Yeah. It's a blessing, yeah. in a civilization. It just has to. You can't, you know, you can kick the can down the road, but the Tower's coming.
How many of these things that we think keep us safe and protect us are just familiar? That's like, I mean, the whole make America great again. It's like people are just feeling unsafe, overwhelmed, overloaded. They don't understand the pace of things. They're not digital natives, and they just want to go back to like what feels comfortable. I think like literally this election came down to who made you feel safer, daddy or mommy, you know, in a way, because it was like, is it like, oh, daddy's home, he's gonna make everything better, okay, he said he'd fix it, yeah, even though he's never picked up a wrench in his life, or mommy is gonna handle it, she's gonna go, you know. But honestly, like, no one is safe, and that's the thing, like the illusion of safety is something that Neptune in Aries is kind of stripping away, where it's like,
yeah,
but that's underneath that safety is like some real power, because when you really can look that fear in the eyes and be like, you know what, I remember a time when I was afraid of the void, you know, there's nothing else out there, and I think like there was so much more that I just want, you know, when you just, it's right there. And that sounds really woo-woo, but hey, where better to talk about such things than here?
Totally, yeah. I mean, and that's just like, you know, you were having an existential crisis at a young age. Totally, yeah. Which is like, it's great.
It's good to start with this job, you know?
Yeah, totally. You're asking the big questions and being freaked out by the answers young.
Right, exactly. I was like, okay, wait, what? Ooh, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting too, like the, you know, there is this illusion of safety and handing over power and who's going to take care of me. And, you know, it's like, there's all, I feel like the state and just the powers that be are all, or that think they are always going to actually create, and that false dialectic, that false dichotomy, and like you have to make a choice. And just like in a dysfunctional family, do you choose mommy or daddy? Like,
oh, there's so
a lot,
true.
You know, it gets really, it plays on people's very, very, like a lot of deep stuff. And so that's another hope that I have for this, like moving through this heroic journey from the Mars in Leo and into Cancer, and that we're like feeling ourselves, feeling that call to action, and then having to go into all that material and start having some sovereignty and sorting out our beliefs around that for ourselves. And hopefully then that abrupt boom into that Neptune in Aries will allow some of that processing that may have taken place to really start to coalesce.
Yeah. How do you as an Aries feel about having Neptune in your sign?
Well, I actually have, I used to just feel really like a big hot mess all the time. And I feel like as I've matured and understood how to relate to conflict and to letting my anger be something that signals to me and creates clarity and purity, I have found that it has allowed me to integrate the masculine forces into my femininity. And I feel very strong. I feel that I know who I am, that I feel moved to help other people make those boundaries and self-individuate. And I find that that there must be some conflict to actually create resolution. And so it's nothing to be afraid of. And I find the energy of everything, like there's no boundaries and everything's going everywhere. When I was younger, I thought, oh, that's the way to be. Like, oh, these people with boundaries, they're not having any fun and they're right. So frigid and everything. And it's like, oh, like just good luck with that. You're going to try that for a while and see how that goes. And so, yeah.
I just had a vision of like a mangy cat when you said that.
A mangy cat.
It's just like if you're trying to like operate without any boundaries, you're just like entropy. Oh,
totally.
Totally. Lots of entropy. So yeah, I feel like it's beautiful because the energy of Neptune with sacrifice and really tuning into others, how wonderful will that be in a sign that its balance comes when it starts to harmonize with others, but then keeps its own sovereignty.
I love that. I mean, there's been a lot of like, I mean, it's been such a time for society this decade, and I think a lot of people are waking up to injustices and privilege for the first time, and it's gotten really, but then it's turned into like controlling each other and the suppression in some cases of dialogue, suppression of information that doesn't feel right. I can't hear that. I can't talk about that. And we will not be able to do that. We have to get curious next, mm-hmm. curious about each other. If this election, I mean, I was shocked by the results, but then not at the same time. Like astrologically, I knew it. I was trying to hope manifestation would surpass astrology, but Trump had Jupiter right on his sun during the election and so many favorable, like, transits. I was like, oh boy. And then Pluto going back into Capricorn for the election for that last little bit. It was like, it's hard to feel like you've been dropped back into 1980 in some ways, though. I mean, that's my feeling. I'm just like, okay, that time where it wasn't okay to be different, where the popular jocks and cheerleaders took command of everything. And we had to just have our little subcultures and that's kind of how I felt the day after among other emotions. But then it was like, wow, you know, what? It's like, there's so many levels of, you know, like, okay, what's true? What's not? How out of touch are we with each other? And what's going on? What is it that unites us all that we cannot even access right now? And I think that's going to be really important to figure out for those who are willing to do it.
Yeah. And I would love to just give the world of collective grief counseling session, because
totally
the shock and the grief has gone right into rage and blame, and like people giving away their critical thinking and reflection and just going right into externalization. And it's, I'm watching this. I will say, those of you who know me, I don't really have a lot of social media. I have it sort of curated to me by my lovely friends who text me things and tell me like what's going on. But like what I've just generally been kind of sensing and hearing about is like this social civil war that people are really being quite hateful to each other, and a lot of blame being thrown around. And that's natural. It's going to be natural. That's going to happen. Come on, the volcano just erupted, you know, but
I think it's okay, though. I think anger is a healthy emotion to express. And we have Chiron, the wounded healer, Comet, and Aries. And I think anger is going sideways for everyone, too. Like, we don't understand what healthy anger is, but there's just this feeling of powerless that everybody had. Like, if Kamala had won, there would be a lot of people who were angry and feeling powerless. True. And Trump winning, a lot of, you know, it's like we are that divided. It's like the people who wanted Trump would feel like they're, you know, all their money, you know, they don't have control, they don't have power, they're, you know, and then I mean, the same thing, though. It's just like, what do we want power over more in our personal lives? But at the end of the day, everyone feels powerless. Mm-hmm. And that is where we are united.
Yeah. And then what is it of our power that hinges on that decision? It's like, okay, here's this thing that happened. I also urge people, like a lot of people kind of ignored their local stuff.
Oh, I know. It is so local. Really, it's sad. Really, it's going to be, that's Gemini is local, local, local.
That's right.
Where you live and who you gather with is, and yeah, it's going to be a big deal now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you're putting all of your eggs in the basket, if you're all your, just who you are, your identity, all the stuff into this huge thing outside of yourself, and then deciding that when that happens that, yeah, there's some legitimate, I mean, but if that is where all your power was and then that didn't go your way, then what are you left with? And I think that that's the question people have to ask themselves and start rebuilding and assessing. And so I hope that that's what comes. That's the healthy thing, right? The postmortem after a big burst of anger and grief. It's like you get to take your scientific notes and hopefully.
I think that will happen because like marching didn't do anything last time. Protesting didn't. But like, there is the sense, though, of, you know, like, wow, well, a bunch of billionaires had a lot to do with pulling strings and making things happen. And isn't that the way it's always been? Oh. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it comes down to my false prophet versus your false prophet. Mm. I don't think that any of them have altruistic intentions. Mm-hmm. And they all have money, you know. And it's funny enough, it's like, I think we've been programmed to think it's about the money. They can just print that shit.
It's true.
They don't need money. But the illusion in our minds is that it comes down to money. But they can use money to manipulate people, maybe below them, if you will. Really what it's about is ascertaining our spirit.
That's the only way. It really is the only way, right?
So that's why this is about a spiritual war against each other. Mm-hmm. And if we are divided spiritually, this is how they win.
Oh, God, yeah. It's so true. These I cannot agree false, with you more.
False prophets. I don't care if you... Trump, red, green. It doesn't matter. We got to get rid of the red and the blue pill. We got to go for the white pill, as we say. Because that's...
What do you think that would look like?
That's actually diving into the 5D plane. Mm-hmm. Because we're fighting over bodies. What about our soul? That's it.
I know. It's like, it's crazy to me that these... groups like the Heritage Foundation, like, why do they care about my body so much? Why do they care about, you know, it just, Yeah. These forces. I mean, that's the thing, we just don't even know. Pluto in Aquarius for 20 whole years is going to be an interesting time. Like, I don't think we have any idea what's coming. Like, right now it seems like, oh my God, we need to protect the Constitution, the democracy. You know, like, but it's like, okay. And that is like, that is important if we want to keep living the kind of lives that we have been living. But a lot of people feel unhappy with those too. Mm-hmm. But it's also terrifying in some ways to think what's on the other side, given the state of humanity. Like, what will people do if we don't have, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, if only everyone was capable of navigating the 5D world. I think we all are, though. It's just, but it well, takes,
we
you
are
know.
Because that's what we are first. But right. Like this whole thing, right? This whole election and, you know, even the Constitution, all of it is a distraction from, you know, if you will, like PSYOPs, right?
What's that?
A PSYOP, a psychological operation.
Oh. Say a little more about that.
The American dream.
Mm.
That is one of the biggest psyops that ever existed. So it's like, what's that comedian, Carl, what was his name?
Carlin.
Yeah.
St. George Carlin.
Oh, George Carlin, a Taurus.
He's like, you know, the great American dream is bullshit, basically, because all it is like, let me just be a slave, work my butt off, buy a house, buy crap. Now I'm going to go work to buy more crap, to buy a bigger house, to buy more crap. Now we have storage units so someone can watch my crap.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And exactly. It's like, and he was always like, so it's your stuff and somebody else's crap.
Right. I love that. Oh my it's God, like, he's so funny.
The government's there to train us what to care about, right? So... Yeah. And each side cares about different things. That's not without intention.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, I might have a different perspective than you. Like, I just don't know if people could self-govern effectively.
That's another argument people have, right? Like, yeah. Are we capable? Do we believe in ourselves to govern ourselves without, like, letting the shit hit the fan?
Sure. Well, I mean, how would we... have like, you know, how would we get medications? How would we have homes? How would we know who's, you know, like how we have no idea. I mean,
that's because we were born in time where we haven't had that. So we don't know what that looks like.
We have no idea. Yeah.
Like, but that's how we started, I'm sure, is
oh, for sure.
Prehistoric times governing ourselves.
I will say that we would be in smaller factions. Yes. We would be in communities.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because those things did take place in small communities. So this idea of a federal power, like that's just, it's so blown beyond. It would have to be, it would be kind of small. I believe it would be just smaller governing factions. Mm. And then people would have to decide amongst themselves. And there would have to be that smaller kind of a cell. More like mm-hmm. a cell.
Well, I think Tommy we'll have that. Mentioned. We'll
that's
have
what you
those
mentioned.
Within. I think people will yeah. form their own cells. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd get these little communities, these little tribes. And like you said, it's like the homesteading and like homeschooling, et yeah. cetera, et cetera. And so, yeah, I agree. I think that's probably what's, you know, coming down the line for sure.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I am not sure humanity is ready to self-govern in our current state, but we may. Yeah,
we're gonna find
if,
out.
You know, if the aliens come in the next 20 years, we might yeah. just be like, what is all this? Well, they're probably already here, as we know, but yes.
I'm
yeah.
an alien.
I know, yes, I know. I'm totally right an alien. Here. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's interesting too, because it just wouldn't. Also require an enormous amount of self-responsibility and clarity. And I think that there's so many things like with the AI and the way that we're sort of being slowly dumbed down, and we have been over, you know, just with the educational system, medications, like all of these things that are taking the sharpness off of our edges. And I think that then it'd be hard to imagine having the self-responsibility collectively to start actually self-governing in that way. I think we'd really have to start chipping away and taking ourselves back from inside to then start even imagining what it'd be like to do that.
Yeah. It'd be a slow process, but yeah. I do think it's possible.
And that's really the Aries, the Neptune Aries is a big wake up in that regard, I believe.
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, society is going to be shifting in the next 5 years in massive ways. But what I see has just happened is the appearance that might be happening, but more of the same that just came in. And that's where it's like, this ain't over yet, you know? This is, the rich guys got their hands back on the wheel, you know? But they do want to do things differently in some ways, where they're using technology, Pluto and Aquarius, in some ways that are going to be, yeah. Anyways, I'm getting all apocalyptic now.
And that's what they want us to do anyways.
I know. It's like, let's bring ourselves,
Well, let's, we've been talking about these signs, different types of signs, and there's different modes of signs. And that's really a big focus of the Astrology Advantage is, can you tell us about cardinal and mutable and fixed?
Absolutely. Let's bring it back to us as people, because really at the end of the day, like that is where we do have power, and our everyday, we forget that our lives right here, right now matter as much as the spiraling out of fear and stuff is also what keeps us. It's that diagnosis of cancer that we. Undiagnosing is also remembering that we are at the, we are the viewer, we are the dreamers,
the creator, the co-creator. Yes.
Sorry. No problem. So looking at your own chart, and you can do, you can go to astrostyle.com/IAM to do this. And you plug in your time, date, and place of birth, and you will get a breakdown of how many cardinal, which we call innovator, fixed, which we call the authority planets, and maven, which the mutable ones. So I am innovator, authority, maven are the archetypes that we've come up with. So we have the signs are divided into fire, earth, air, and water, and they're also divided into cardinal, which are the signs that start every season: Aries, Cancer, Libra, Capricorn. Fixed signs, which are the middle of the season: Taurus, Leo, Scorpio, Aquarius. They're very resourceful, know how to work with what you've got. And then you have the mutable signs, which are the ends of the season, which prepare us for change. That's Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, and Pisces. So depending on, I'm a Sagittarius sun, so I'm a mutable sign, but most of my planets are actually cardinal signs, which makes me an innovator. So I am very, I'm someone who lives in the future. I like to trailblaze. I like to do things, just let's shake things up around here, And people who are primarily authority are ones who are understand the past and history and know how to work with what they have and work with what's going on. And then the mutable mavens are the buzzers, the messengers, the ones who are always, you're a maven, right? Oh, no, you're an innovator too, I'm Janelle. Innovator. Have we done Jeanette's yet? No, we'll have to do yours and find out. But betting a maven there, perhaps,
She's got you have a lot in
a lot of mutables. I bet. Just the information gatherers that the mavens are amazing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's going to be a great tool to have for moving into this new era. Are you going to be someone who, because we are, change is here. How are we going to greet it? Are we going to work? I'm always all right, well, this is what's happening in the world. Let me work with it, And then that's the innovator, but authorities might be how can we hold on to tradition too? And the mavens are just going to be, this is fascinating. I'm going to try this. So I don't, what's everyone saying about this and that? Yeah. So yeah, I think it's just helpful to look at your chart, your whole chart, instead of just your sun sign, and have that archetype there. Yeah,
and you give some great tips on like how to embrace your archetype, but then things to watch out for and things that you can do to empower yourself, and that was really useful.
Oh, good. Yeah, the innovators can get a little carried away with futurizing and everything, and trying to make it, okay, everything doesn't have to be turned into a life coaching set. I love how you want to give everyone grief counseling. let people have their anger. Oh, no, no, no. Let's get ahead of that. You know, we don't have patience for that, you know? So authorities can be a little too nostalgic and stuck in the mud. And then mavens can make everyone dizzy. Like, we got to do this. We got to try that. We got to, you know, so we all have our pros and cons. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It's so great. I just love the practical, the way that you and your sister like make really land things and make it practical and easy to learn. Because I think it's nice to sometimes take the very technical terminology off of something and reframe it with something they can relate to.
Totally. Like,
you know, love that.
And no matter who's the president, life is going to go on. We're still going to be waking up every morning and facing a day. So how are we going to greet it?
I know. I was thinking about this the other day, just like thinking about our interview. And I was like, remember when you were a kid and you were like 10 or whatever, you might not have known who the president even was. And yet you created the joy and the bliss in your environment. And what was real was what you experienced personally within your own individual environment on a daily basis. I think that might be something really important for people to latch on to right now, regarding politics or what have you. It's just like, what is real is what I create in my own space and in my own relationships. Can we get back to that childhood mentality of innocence and freedom and just, I guess, it's almost like a sense of being naive, but not in a dumbed down way, but to see the joys and the beautiful deliciousness of each moment.
The essence.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
I'm going to hire you.
I'm going to have a podcast.
You're my wordsmith.
You know? Well, that is what Jupiter and Gemini is all about. Right now we have the first half of the year to at least be in that way. Yeah, I remember when I found out that people hated Ronald Reagan, I was like, oh, I thought it was just that puppet in the Phil Collins video that I didn't understand in elementary school. I was like, oh God. But yeah, I mean, it's, well, and yeah, we have to hold on to sort of those dual realities, you know? It's just, yeah, people are also, though, have to be very, have their antenna on for, like, media literacy, too. It's like, is this generated by AI? Can I believe this? I mean, that's like what's going to be really hard to know who to believe.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that we need to stop believing in the system.
Well, we, I mean, even it's not even just the system. It's like just turn almost it off. Every, yeah.
Like that bumper sticker back in the 80s that said, shoot your television, just shoot your laptop. What is real is what you see when you go outside.
I know, we're so disconnected from that, you know.
Go outside.
Yeah.
Get out of the house. Turn the shit off. See, I kind of secretly, and not that I want anyone to get hurt, I just, can we have the grid go down for a few days? You know, not the hospitals or anything that makes anyone, put anyone in danger, but like, can we just completely unplug? And then all of a sudden, there's no one to program. And all of a sudden, we actually see that there was nothing to be afraid of.
That could be a good Pluto and Aquarius solution, like unplug the grid. Death to the grid.
Oh my yes, God. I like it.
Remember?
Let's make a rock band called that.
Death to the grid. Let's all start using card catalogs again and microfiche.
Oh my God.
Oh yes. Lick your finger and just thumb through actual paper.
See, Gen X really does have the advantage of living in both worlds. Yes. I know this has been discussed aplenty, but it's like, we do know how to survive without the internet.
I didn't have a laptop for college or any of that. We actually did the microfiche stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have a laptop. We had a computer lab.
Word processor.
I was telling somebody the other day that, oh, my God, that there was, even in, you know, writing papers, we weren't allowed to use, because the internet had just, you could find it at the library. Nobody had it in their homes. Couldn't use the internet. You couldn't use any publication that had advertising. They wanted, like, I just remember having to write papers that were just like, you had to go to the library, you had to use the microfiche, you had to use real.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No plagiarism, girls. Yeah,
of course, no plagiarism. But the sources had to be like really pure. They couldn't be tainted with advertising. They couldn't be like, I just remember that. It's interesting.
Wow. And I just like, GPT chat, go ahead and write your college paper with GPT. Let them write it for you. Man, these kids got it easy now.
Oh, my God.
They
chat GPT is amazing, though.
See,
what it can
I
do.
I just can't use it. Because I feel like I'm selling out or something.
No, you know what? It can give you a good outline. It's basically just doing.
It's
you know?
A large language model. It's yeah. not AI. It's not yeah. you know. There's nothing. It's just just computes a bunch of data really, really quickly, massive amounts.
I mean, it can write. No, it's insane what it can do now. Actually, it's
a little bit entertaining too, because you can have it write your paper, but then you can say, "I'd like you to now say this whole thing again like a Shakespearean bard." Or say it again like I'm 3 years old and we're in kindergarten. Like yeah. It's really kind of funny.
Yeah. I'm sure I could use it for entertainment purposes.
Oh, yeah. Did you see on my Astro Twins Instagram, I reposted this video that this guy made with AI if Trump took ayahuasca.
And oh, it is I saw insane. That. Oh, yeah, we saw that.
I mean, it's insane what it did. It like got his voice. It got it. Like,
I should have it do me. Yeah.
But oh then, the, like, and then the question of there too is just like, at what point are people allowed to take your likeness and your voice? And is it, you know what I mean?
That's
like, there's that too. It's like
it's still
like,
unregulated.
It's
of course.
Unregulated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's the thing. Oh. It's gonna get really.
What would Kamala look like if she did ayahuasca?
Oh, I don't know.
We should do that.
More. Right. I wonder if that's there.
So much laughing.
Yeah, no, maybe.
Maybe, maybe not.
She's probably done it, actually.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. Kamala.
But that's the part, like you said, you know, like getting into this Uranus and Gemini, like, you know, it's going to be almost like these things are going to be coming out faster than we can even regulate it. And it's just going to be very, yeah. There's so much in the music industry, the writer's strike in Hollywood had to do with all this. I mean, it's like wild stuff.
It's so Pluto. I mean, Pluto and Aquarius, I keep saying that over and over again, but it really is.
Yeah.
Do you remember, I don't know if we talked about this in the episode we had with you last time about the frequency of the collective, basically. Mm. And so during COVID, so Alejandro Fernandez and his wife, Elena Bensenhoff, they do frequency readings of people, events, et cetera, using scalar technology. And during COVID, COVID's collective consciousness of the people was 100, which is fear. Now we've moved into 175, which is desire, right? So I think, does that align with what we're going through? Like, you know, people are pulling out of this sense of fear and moving into a space of like, I want change. I want, you know, they're desiring different.
I think so. I think people can only hold fear for so long. Aquarius is actually the sign of hope and wishful thinking too. And this Gemini energy of this year is also, I mean, we're in a dragon year, and that's a lot like Mars and mm-hmm. Aries. So
mm-hmm. yeah.
I think people want to feel, they do want to feel joy, and they do want to feel like possibility and new things are ahead. And yet we can't look to our leaders to provide that for us. Only, you know, like obviously we're going to have to, that's where Saturn and Neptune and Aries coming in. It's all about individual responsibility too.
There it is.
Yeah. So
put a bow on it right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll have to wrap up here, but we are just, boy, we went all over the galaxy.
You know, it's
one.
A it's a heavy year in some ways,
yes.
But, you know, there's in those moments where you feel that profound sense of confusion and chaos. And it's like, that's where you realize you have to come to your own center within yourself. And I think that that's what everyone is going to get a master class in 2025 in one way or another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thanks for having me on.
Oh gosh,
yes.
So great to have you back. Tali, is Tali our first repeat guest?
Yes, she is.
Yes,
hey.
You are. Ding, ding, ding. Woo.
Yes. Oh, well, honor. Oh. It's a distinction. Thank you.
Yes. So wonderful. I just love all the work that you're doing. And your book, is it available?
It is available at astrostyle.com. or at Astro Twins on Instagram, the Astro Twins 2025 horoscope.
Excellent. And also in our show notes.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Find it there too.
Yes. Get yours now, kids.
Awesome. Right on time. Cool. Aww.
Thank you so much for joining us, Tali.
Love it. I love talking to you both.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay.
Take care.
We hope this conversation has empowered you. Remember, you are unique and you are a miracle. Your body doesn't make mistakes. It responds perfectly to an imperfect environment. Until next time, go get that life.